The Holy Roman Empire arose as an attempt to restore imperial power in the West. From the beginning, it was an ambitious political project of local rulers who dreamed of subjugating Germany and Italy, Central Europe, and the Apennine Peninsula. But soon, the mighty imperial idea clashed with the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, the ancient center of Western Christianity. This is the story of centuries-long struggle between emperors and popes, secular and spiritual power. Learn how the first rulers of the Holy Roman Empire decided the fate of the supreme pontiffs, how Emperor Henry IV begged forgiveness from Pope Gregory VII, and why even the great Frederick I Barbarossa ultimately failed to overcome the power of the Church. In 756, Pepin III the Short, King of the Franks and father of the famous Charlemagne, seized territories in central Italy from the Lombard kingdom and handed them over to Pope Stephen II. This was the so-called Donation of Pepin. For the first time, the Supreme Pontiff acquired secular authority and became ruler of a new, formally independent country, the Papal State. More than two centuries passed. In 962, Pope John XII proclaimed the German king Otto I the Great of the Saxon dynasty as emperor. Thus, at the very heart of Europe, the Holy Roman Empire appeared. This unique political entity for many centuries was the main power in Central Europe and claimed primacy in European politics. It was a mutually beneficial alliance between German rulers and the Catholic Church, secular and spiritual power. Otto I received the prestigious status of emperor, strengthened his legitimacy, and asserted his rights to the legacy of the Western Roman and Carolingian empires. In return, John XII gained a powerful protector of the Catholic Church against its enemies on the Apennine Peninsula. Thus, for the rulers of the Saxon dynasty, also often called the Ottonian dynasty, a kind of genealogical tree of imperial authority was formed. It all began with the Frankish king Charlemagne. After his coronation in Rome, he received the title of Roman Emperor. The rulers of the Eastern Frankish Kingdom, established by Charlemagne's descendants after the division of the Carolingian Empire by the Treaty of Verdun, considered themselves successors of Charlemagne. Then came Otto I. He transformed the Eastern Frankish Kingdom into a German one and captured a significant part of the Apennine Peninsula. After that, he was crowned in Rome as emperor. Otto I viewed his state as the continuation of both the Carolingian and Western Roman empires. Germany was always the core of the Holy Roman Empire, yet its sacred center remained in Rome. Medieval people believed that divine power itself originated from the Eternal City. That is why nearly all coronations of Holy Roman emperors during the Middle Ages took place there. And although their state was never the main successor of ancient Rome, it inherited its titles and its dream of world domination. But sooner or later, the paths of the empire and the papacy had to cross in conflict. Despite any agreements and temporary alliances, the power of emperors and the supreme pontiffs contained an ideological contradiction. There could not be two rulers of Rome, two leaders of the Western Christian world, at the same time. After his imperial coronation, Otto the Great constantly clashed with the popes and tried to maintain power on the Apennine Peninsula. His son, Otto II, went even further. In the early 980s, he attempted to subjugate all of Italy. But in the south, two powerful opponents blocked his path, the Byzantine Empire and the Fatimid Caliphate, which at that time controlled southern Italy. In 982, near the city of Stilo, the young emperor's troops clashed with the army of the Sicilian Emirate, a vassal of the Fatimids. For Otto II, the battle ended in complete disaster. This dealt a serious blow to his imperial ambitions. Soon after, he went to Rome to oversee the election of a new pope. Otto II then remained in the Eternal City, where he contracted malaria and died. In 996, his son, Otto III, set out for the Apennine Peninsula to restore his dynasty's control over the papal throne. He proclaimed his cousin, Bruno of Carinthia, as Pope Gregory V, and he himself received the imperial crown. Soon, he had to suppress a rebellion of the local aristocracy, led by patrician Crescentius the Younger. At first, Otto pardoned him, but in 998, Otto III returned to Rome to crush a new uprising by Crescentius. This time, the emperor did not forgive the rebel leader and had him executed. Otto III's policy in central Italy further strengthened the influence of the emperors over the Catholic Church. Even so, in 1001, Rome again erupted in a noble revolt. The ruler of the Holy Roman Empire was forced to flee the Eternal City. The next year, Otto III planned to restore his influence and launched a new campaign. But on his way to Rome, he fell ill with fever and died in central Italy. Otto III's childless cousin and successor was Henry II. He had led several expeditions into Italy, and in 1014, Pope Benedict VIII crowned him Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. The Ottonian dynasty died out after Henry II's death in 1024. For decades, German monarchs repeatedly intervened in the affairs of the Catholic Church and influenced the election of the supreme pontiffs. All this brought temporary stability, but at the same time led to new conflicts. For the emperors, control over Italy, and especially Rome, had enormous significance. It was not only a symbol of authority over the entire Western Christian world, but also of practical benefit. Possession of northern Italy meant control over Europe's main trade routes. After the extinction of the Ottonians, power passed to the Salian dynasty. Conrad II, son of the Franconian Count Henry of Speyer, became the first of four Holy Roman emperors from the new dynasty. In 1026, Conrad II set out for Italy for his imperial coronation. There, he faced resistance from Italian city-states, particularly Pavia, but ultimately succeeded in establishing his authority. The following year, 1027, Pope John XIX in Rome proclaimed Conrad II emperor. Like his predecessors, the first ruler from the Salian dynasty wielded significant influence over the Catholic Church and in fact interfered in papal elections. Conrad II lingered on the Apennine Peninsula to strengthen his power. In 1039, he died in Utrecht of gout. His only son, Henry III, succeeded him. In 1046, he went to the Apennine Peninsula to receive the imperial crown according to tradition. He found the Catholic Church in chaos. Three rival claimants were simultaneously vying for the papal throne: Benedict IX, Sylvester III, and Gregory VI. This struggle threatened both the authority of the Church and the power of the emperor. Henry III put an end to the papal schism. In 1046, at the Synod of Sutri, he asserted his authority, deposing all three claimants. Under the monarch's influence, Clement II, a German by origin, was appointed pope. That same year, the new pope crowned Henry III emperor. With this step, the German ruler once again confirmed the right of the emperors of the Holy Roman Empire to depose and appoint popes. But Henry III did not stop there. During his reign, he appointed five supreme pontiffs: Clement II, Damasus II, Leo IX, Victor II, and Stephen IX. The emperor believed that by doing so, he could cleanse the Catholic Church of corruption and strengthen its spiritual authority. His relations with the popes were based on strict control. Thanks to this, for a time, the emperor in fact became the highest authority in the Western Christian world. Nevertheless, this direct and uncompromising interference of the emperors in the affairs of the Catholic Church later led to a serious conflict that erupted during the reign of Henry III's son. The strengthening of the Holy Roman Empire's power on the Apennine Peninsula brought the future clash with the papacy closer. After the death of the powerful emperor, his son Henry IV inherited the throne. For a long time, he could not obtain the imperial crown. Still, he actively interfered in Italian affairs, which alarmed Pope Alexander II. After his death, The next Supreme Pontiff was Gregory VII. He opposed the sale of church offices and even threatened the German king with excommunication. The conflict between Henry IV and Gregory VII went down in history as the investiture controversy. The core of the dispute lay in the right to appoint bishops. Henry IV, as the secular ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, supposedly had the legal right to do so in his own realm. Gregory VII, as head of the Catholic Church, sought to assert the independence of the papal state from the empire. He insisted that only spiritual authority could appoint church hierarchs. In 1075, Pope Gregory VII forbade secular rulers to appoint bishops, undermining Henry IV's authority as King of Germany and Italy. Previously, he could grant bishoprics as political rewards to his supporters. The very next year, 1076, Henry IV convened the German bishops and declared Gregory VII illegally elected. In response, the Pope excommunicated the monarch and released his subjects from their oath of allegiance. Thus began the hottest phase of the investiture controversy. This excommunication had serious political consequences, as influential German princes sought to use it to strengthen their own power and as a pretext for rebellion against the monarch. They were hostile to Henry IV and called on the Pope to hold an assembly in Germany to judge him. In 1077, the famous Walk to Canossa took place. To avoid trial by the Supreme Pontiff, Emperor Henry IV went to the papal castle of Canossa to seek forgiveness. Under threat of losing the throne, he had to appear in person before Gregory VII in the winter, an act considered humiliating for the German monarch. The Pope restored him to the church and seemed victorious. Yet this was only one battle won, not the entire war. Although Henry IV's authority was shaken, the struggle over investiture continued. The German aristocracy ignored the Pope's absolution, and that same year elected an anti-king, Duke Rudolf of Rheinfelden from Swabia. At first, the Pope remained neutral in the conflict between the two kings. This allowed Henry IV to consolidate his position. The monarch continued to appoint bishops, and in 1080 he was again excommunicated. In the Battle on the Elster, 1080, he was defeated by Rudolf of Swabia. Even so, his rival died from a mortal wound. From 1081, Henry IV launched a series of military campaigns on the Apennine Peninsula. In 1084, he entered Rome and received the imperial crown from the anti-pope Clement III. The following year, Gregory VII died. This reduced the sharpness of the conflict between the empire and the Catholic Church. After Clement III's death in 1100, Henry IV no longer supported new anti-popes. However, he also failed to achieve peace with Pope Paschal II. In the end, Henry IV lost the struggle for power to his own son. Their quarrel was also linked to the investiture controversy, since the young Henry V allied himself with the princes, opponents of his father. In 1105, Henry IV abdicated the imperial title. The following year, he died of illness. His successor, Henry V, became the fourth and last ruler of the Salian dynasty. Before his imperial coronation, he ruled the Holy Roman Empire in harmony with the influential German aristocracy. Nevertheless, already in 1111, he captured Pope Paschal II in order to force him to crown him emperor. Having obtained the desired title, Henry V abandoned his alliance with the princes and tried to increase his influence over the Catholic Church. In the end, the German nobility forced him to compromise with the papacy. The Concordat of Worms of 1122 ended the investiture controversy. Henry V and Pope Calixtus II agreed that the Supreme Pontiff would have the right to appoint bishops, while the Emperor would grant them the secular powers associated with this influential office. The compromise agreement temporarily ended the confrontation between emperors and the Catholic Church, but Italy remained an arena of conflict between the interests of the Empire and the Papal State. the Pope showed that they were capable of challenging even the most powerful emperors, especially after the walk to Canossa, which created a precedent for future conflicts. Meanwhile, the German princes, thanks to this struggle, gained significant autonomy, further decentralizing the Holy Roman Empire. In 1125, Henry V died childless. His place on the throne was taken by the first and only representative of the Supplinburg dynasty, Lothair III. During his reign, the Hohenstaufen schemed against him. Duke Frederick II the One-Eyed of Swabia and Duke Conrad of Franconia. Lothair III had no major conflicts with the Catholic Church, became emperor in 1133, but already in 1137 he died, while returning from a relatively successful campaign against the Kingdom of Sicily. The new German king was his political rival, Conrad III, grandson of Henry IV and the first ruler of the Hohenstaufen dynasty, who, nevertheless, was never emperor. Conrad III took part in the Second Crusade. Before his death, he appointed his nephew Frederick Barbarossa as successor, ignoring his own son, Duke Frederick IV of Swabia. In the mid-12th century, the Apennine Peninsula was divided into three regions. In the north were the wealthy and prosperous cities of Milan, Venice, and Genoa. They developed economically while actively resisting the empire in defense of their autonomy. In central Italy was the Papal State. The Catholic Church continued to be a challenge for emperors. In the south reigned the Normans, who had driven out the Arabs and Byzantines and created the Kingdom of Sicily. At times, it supported the Holy Roman Empire, at other times, the Pope. Under such circumstances, no emperor could hold Italy without constant military campaigns. Frederick I Barbarossa became King of Germany in 1152. Young, ambitious, and confident in his mission to restore the greatness of the Holy Roman Empire, 3 years later, he became emperor. The ceremony was traditional. Pope Adrian IV in Rome placed the imperial crown on Frederick I's head. Barbarossa considered Italy strategically important because of its historical, religious, and economic significance. He carried out several expeditions to the Apennine Peninsula, seeking to establish direct control over the Italian city-states and the Catholic Church. At first, Barbarossa achieved certain successes. Even so, when Milan and other northern Italian cities refused to submit to the emperor, Frederick I responded harshly. In 1162, he destroyed Milan. But the city-states of Italy did not yield. Their economic strength allowed them to resist the ambitious emperor. With the support of Pope Alexander III, who at the time became Barbarossa's chief opponent, in 1167, they formed the Lombard League. This alliance of Lombard cities sought to block the spread of Frederick I's influence in northern Italy. The most famous members of the organization were Milan, Verona, Venice, Genoa, and Bologna. In alliance with the Supreme Pontiff, they posed a real threat to the Holy Roman Empire. The conflict quickly escalated into open war. Barbarossa continued moving toward his cherished goal, while the Italian city-states defended their independence from the empire with all their might. The Lombard League had the support of the Catholic Church. Pope Alexander III saw in Frederick I a dangerous rival and did everything possible to restrain his influence on the Apennine Peninsula. He refused to recognize the imperial claims to the Papal State. In response, Barbarossa supported several anti-popes and tried to undermine Alexander III's authority. Yet, all these attempts failed. None of the rivals posed a serious threat to the Supreme Pontiff. He always found allies among the Italian city-states or European kingdoms. Thus, Frederick I's desire to build a powerful empire clashed with the Italian cities striving for independence and Pope Alexander III's determination to preserve the Catholic Church's political autonomy. The decisive moment came at the Battle of Legnano in 1176. The army of the Holy Roman Empire under Frederick I clashed with the forces of the Lombard League, commanded by the Italian noble and military leader Guido d'Alandriano. The League had numerical superiority, though historians still debate the exact figures. Barbarossa's army consisted mainly of mounted knights, while his opponent's strength lay in volunteer militias. The Lombard League's heavy infantry took a defensive position in the center, while light cavalry covered the flanks. Frederick I immediately led his heavy cavalry in a frontal assault. They broke through the front line and forced the enemy to retreat. Yet, soon the Italian light cavalry counterattacked. The infantry held firm and stopped the withdrawal. Barbarossa had not expected such resistance. Part of his forces was cut off by the counterattack, and in the end, he himself was forced to retreat. This battle became one of the first in the Middle Ages in which infantry managed to withstand the charge of heavy cavalry. The defeat of the imperial army showed that the Italian city-states were becoming increasingly powerful, and even a mighty emperor could not break their organized resistance. The Battle of Legnano forced Frederick I to curb his ambitions and begin negotiations. In 1177, in Venice, he made peace with Pope Alexander III, recognizing the independence of the Catholic Church and the Papal State. And the Peace of Constance in 1183 confirmed the Lombard League cities' broad autonomy and right to self-government, although formally they still remained part of the empire. This was a landmark agreement. For the first time, the rights of Italian cities were officially recognized. In 1186, Barbarossa arranged the marriage of his son and heir, Henry Hohenstaufen, to Constance of Sicily. She was the daughter of King Roger II of Sicily, the aunt of the reigning King William II, and heiress to the Sicilian throne. The union of the Hohenstaufen dynasty with Sicily laid the foundation for the future unification of northern and southern Italy. Soon after, Frederick I joined the Third Crusade and set out for the Holy Land overland. Still, in 1190, already nearly 70 years old, the emperor perished. He drowned while crossing the Salif River in Asia Minor. Most of his army never reached Jerusalem. Frederick I Barbarossa entered history as one of the most outstanding rulers of the Middle Ages, yet even he could not subdue Italy. The emperor's long conflicts with the Lombard League and Pope Alexander III shaped the political landscape of medieval Europe. In particular, Frederick I's struggle with the Italian city-states forged their distinctive identity, which endured for centuries. The Apennine Peninsula remained divided. The cities of the north gained broad autonomy. The central lands were controlled by the Papal State, and the south by the Normans. By the time of Barbarossa's death in 1190, the map of Europe already reflected the protracted confrontation between the emperors of the Holy Roman Empire, the Catholic Church, and the Italian city-states. The ambitious dream of the German monarchs for a united imperial Italy never came true, though their claims persisted. The Holy Roman Empire remained a leading European power, but its authority was under threat. The conflict between emperors and the papacy defined Europe's political dynamics for a long time. Over the following centuries, several generations of Frederick I's heirs from the Hohenstaufen dynasty continued the struggle for control over the Apennines.